Rye Barrett, hi, welcome and welcome to Upcoming Dis. How you doing?
Hey, Gino, how's it going?
Going pretty well. I got to see the Drownsmen last week, so I got to see some of your work.
That's awesome.
Well, listen, tell me how you found your way to this movie.
I knew they were casting for it, and I've worked with Chad before, so I really love the idea of the character in the film, so I definitely let him know that I wanted to come in and read for it, and so they were kind of looking for somebody a little different than my physicality. They were looking for somebody older and sort of more lanky in the beginning, and
right.
Then, so I wrote a monologue to sort of kind of set me apart, and I went in and I read it, and I guess I was creepy enough, and then I got the job.
Wow, now that's kind of funny when you talk about reading for it, because the Drownsman doesn't really say much in this film, does he?
No, he's pretty tight-lipped. He doesn't say so much. He's not so expressive with his words, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a presence to be dealt with. Now, obviously, to do this part, you had to go through quite a bit of makeup and wardrobe type of issues. So tell me about that schedule and how that worked.
Yeah, there was it was about a 3-hour process.
Mm-hmm.
I was covered pretty much head to toe in either prosthetics or body makeup or slime.
Right.
It was about a 7-part process, I think, and then eye contacts and fake teeth and the whole deal.
Uh huh.
But they did a great job on the design, and I think it gave me a lot to work with. That's for sure.
Sure, and that was the next question. When you get into this character and you finally get the whole, you know, all the stuff on, does that in any way inform who the character is and help you to find the voice or the character itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I had done a lot of sort of pre-planning and thought and as to body movement and how I carry myself and just sort of the character's the cadence of mm-hmm. how he did everything.
Yeah.
The second you get that suit on the first time, you kind of come up with all these new ideas as to how he's moving. It just sort of, it really does inform you on what he is. When you look in the mirror and you can kind of, you have to sort of play with it and experiment right off the bat, because it's not your face right off the bat, but you do show through, so
mm-hmm.
you have to find what really sells to get that character across.
Now, also, you had the extra challenge of not only all this makeup on, but everyone had the challenge of working in this wet set, dealing with all this water, but this must have created even special problems for you, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody was a trooper on that set, because it was very cold, it was the middle of winter when we shot it, and it was obviously dealing with a lot of water and extremities like that. But when it came to the suit, one plus side to it was that it did keep me a little bit warmer, because it was a thick foam latex suit.
Oh, okay.
But the other thing with that, though, is that it also did soak up a lot of the water, and it would sort of, the water would come into the suit and you'd be stuck with it for hours. And so you'd be warm at the moment, but then the second you got out and were walking around, you would start to freeze again, because the water would just, like, chill in you.
Right.
So it added that level to it.
Well, and not only the cold from the water, I assume with these soaked pieces all around you, it added some weight to your costume as well, so that must have affected your performance a bit.
Yeah, it did. It did, but a lot of the scenes where I was soaked, I was in the water, so it didn't, like, it was very buoyant, and I could deal with it better. There wasn't a whole lot where I had been in the water and then was doing my scenes on dry land.
Oh, that's good.
I did most of those scenes before I ever got in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It was thought of it a lot to make that easier.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Which type of scenes did you find easier, when you were basically a land person or when you were splashing around in one of those tubs of water?
Probably just on land. It's easier just because specifically, like, I had to do with my body language and those specific things, but I didn't really have to do a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, you know, drag a girl here or there, throw her into a pit or something.
Yeah.
But then in the water, you have to remember, you got to hold your breath for a certain time, you got to remember that the other actor is all good and safe, and it adds that element to it.
Uh-huh. And how was that interaction with the other actors? I'm told that they weren't allowed to see you till you were, you know, in the full makeup and ready for a scene. So how did that help?
Yeah, it actually helped a lot for me to get the genuine scares from the very first, and it was the very first scene that they see me in the film chronologically. So it really helped to, you know, I knew I had, I looked in the mirror and I was like, wow, I really do look terrifying right now. And if I go in there and completely stay in character, I'm going to be terrifying. So knowing that and having the confidence that these girls had not seen me at all yet, and I was walking into a creepy set with them already in the mode to be a that area.
Right.
And then that really did help.
Yeah. Now, you follow in the footsteps of a tremendous amount of these kinds of characters, and you go back to Jason or Freddy or Leatherface and those kind of things. Did any of that film history inform how you did this, or did you want this to be just completely something different?
Well, yeah, it really did. I mean, I'm a huge fan of a lot of those classic horror films, and they definitely informed me, because I feel like when you're doing something like this, you're going to be using inspirations from the past. You can't completely just do something out there that no one can relate to, because it's got to be a relatable idea to nail it on the head. So
mm-hmm.
I look to Doug Bradley as Pinhead and Kane Hodder as Voorhees, and Tony Todd as Candyman. They were my three major sort of inspirations for what this character. I mean, I wanted him to be his own thing, obviously, but
sure.
I looked at what worked for those characters, what was scary about them,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to apply it in a different way to this character.
Well, when you have a character that's so heavily made up so we can't really see you so much, and also a character without really any dialogue to speak of, what is it you rely on most to get your acting across?
I honestly try to just be in the moment and be terrifying. Like, if I was just standing there by myself and I wanted to put forth a threat,
mm-hmm.
and to do it in this character's cadence.
Right.
I just try to exude it through the makeup and everything. And I think it just kind of, it sells. Like, in a way, like, if you take an example, Kane Hodder brings this terror to Jason just through his slow breathing, and his just,
right.
He's very still until that last moment when he snaps and rips someone's head off.
And mm-hmm.
It's those little things that you hope shine through the makeup, and like that the makeup helps project, sort of thing.
Now, well, you've done makeup before. I see you've been in some zombie films. How was this any different?
This was quite different, just because he does have a specific personality. Like, a zombie is a very specific, you're doing a very specific kind of act or thing. And,
sure.
I've done some other stuff too, where it was, I've done a demon or this or that. And
mm-hmm.
with each one, you just sort of approach it totally different and totally on its own. That's just to have an actual personality behind it.
Well, how much did you get to collaborate on the look? Did you get any input into any of the look of this guy?
No, he was pretty much all designed between, Chad had described it all to Jay Gore,
mm-hmm.
one half of the Gore Brothers team.
Yeah.
And he pretty much ran with it and designed it. When I was going in for my first, because I had to go in for head mold,
like
that, when they were doing the prosthetics. But when I went in and saw the drawings of what he was going to look like, I was really, really excited to like, think about what I could do with that sort of look. And
mm-hmm.
I had nothing to do with the look of him.
Well, and you did say, though, that at first they were looking for a different kind of body type design. So when they finally selected you, do you think there was any change in the evolution of the look of the character when they cast you?
Well, yeah, I guess in that way I did. I might have had a bit of a hand in the change of his look. Because I know Chad did sort of want him to be an old, lanky kind of creature.
Uh-huh.
Like an old man sort of thing. And he sort of changed that aspect about it. So I guess in that way, maybe I changed.
Well, and it seems to me that kind of really badass type of guy, it works better for the film than if he'd have been an old lanky guy. So it looks like it was fortuitous that you got the job.
Yeah, it works for me. Hey, I'm not going to complain.
Well, now, when you're doing something like this, especially when there's a lot of downtime and you're still in all this makeup and costume, how do you keep that mood going?
It's funny you asked that. You're the first person who's asked that, and that was one of my biggest challenges during the shoot, was just keeping my mind in a positive place and keeping just distracted, because that stuff is it's very uncomfortable to be in, and I was in it for about 15 hours a day for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
So, it gets to you, but you just have to sort of, like, you have to do things to occupy your mind. I was constantly making a joke. The drownsman would be like, let me get you drown, or one of the girls, one of the actresses, was Australian, so I was like, I come from land, drown under. So I just have really cheesy jokes that I was trying to
mm-hmm.
mood light in between.
Probably also helped you to develop a rapport with the crew.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And what I was trying to add on to that is that, especially you being in all that makeup and stuff, unlike even a normal performance, the crew's probably a lot more important to you, because I'm sure there's probably a lot more assistance, a lot more touch-up work, and attention has to be paid to you during the filming.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry if I keep cutting out here.
That's okay.
I'm losing connection. But, yeah, there was a lot of that here. Yeah, they were great. I mean, Jay Gore, he did a lot. He's great for standing by and being, you know, he'd ask me, he's like, do you need anything, man? You need a drink? You need something to eat or whatever? He was always on my side. So he was sort of my brother on the whole shoot, kind of taking care of anything that I couldn't do. Because it does restrict you. Going to the washroom is a bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'll bet, especially if you're in this thing for 15 hours. Do you ever get any kind of a break where you can get out of this thing, or is it just impossible?
Once you're in it, you're pretty much locked into it, because it's to take it all off. And then if they all of a sudden needed you, it's just, you just kind of can't do it. But, you know, you figure it out. You figure out something. There's different ways of getting around it, but you just got to be careful.
Well, so what about a Drownsman 2? You up for repeating this role?
I'm totally up for repeating it. I'd love to, and I'm excited to see if something does come down the road. There's definitely been talk of it, so I don't know what I'm allowed to say, if anything, right now.
Well, we certainly would look forward to seeing it, and it comes out Tuesday from Anchor Bay, and we're looking forward to seeing that one and seeing whatever else you have coming up.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. I'm definitely looking forward to getting out there.
Well, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for talking, man.
All right, take care.